Mon nom est Stanley Dumornay et je vous dis un gros bonjour de Montréal, la plus belle ville au Canada, particulièrement au printemps. Good morning everyone. My name is Stanley Dumornay and I am speaking to you from Montreal. I believe it is the most beautiful city in Canada, particularly in the spring. And I am actually at our church building, which we have not been using, obviously. And the backdrop is actually a photo of the Montreal skyline. My family and I, we've been living in Montreal for the last 10 years. And it's a city that we really enjoy. In fact, spring is our favorite season of the year. I would say spring and summer, really. After you've lived a harsh winter in Quebec, you look forward to the spring. And so it has been so different than most years, and for obvious reasons. Nonetheless, my wife and I, Dominique, we celebrated our 17th anniversary this past Sunday, and we just went for a walk, and we went for ice cream. And interestingly enough, the last 2 weeks, we had two major conflicts. If you can, well, we're not perfect, obviously. You can imagine that. And I don't know if it's confinement, but very, very challenging conflicts. But we're just grateful to God. We're grateful to be disciples. We're grateful that we can turn to God. We're grateful that we have the Bible that we can follow. We're grateful that we have brothers and sisters in the church that we can turn to and get advice and help when we go through difficult times. And so I hope wherever you are not feeling alone, but you're connecting with disciples. It's so good to be able to connect with our brothers and sisters from all over Eastern Canada. It was encouraging watching the videos from the different churches, the songs, the sharings. Encouraging to see what God is doing through our campus ministry. And so, you know, as I said before, the last 2 months have been very different. And I think most people are asking, when are we going back to what we would call a normal way of life? When will we return to the normal life that we once knew? And I think it's safe to say that there's a sense of apprehension about what the future holds. And that's really what I want to talk to us about this morning. I really want to talk to us about our fear. How are you dealing with this sense of apprehension about the future? How are you dealing with your fear? We all experience fear. I remember two experiences I've had where I was very, very fearful. And those experiences have marked me. The first one is in 2007. I was living in New Jersey at the time with my family. And Dominique and I and the kids, we were planning to go to Haiti. And we were going to do training with the leaders there. And things were very unstable politically in Haiti at that time. And Haiti ranked right below Mexico. Wait for it. No, it wasn't for the sunniest city in the Western Hemisphere. It was for the highest rate of kidnappings. There were actually 10 to 15 kidnappings a day happening in Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. And we were just a few days or weeks away from our trip. And I was terrified. I was terrified at the thought of what could happen to my kids. And at the time, they were 10 and 12. And so I remember one particular day at my house, I just laid flat on the ground. I don't know where I got that idea from. I think I read it in a spiritual book. And it was the idea of surrendering to God in prayer. And I remember just lying flat on the ground and just pouring my heart out to God, expressing my fears and how terrified I was. And I don't even remember how long I stayed laying on the ground. But when I got up, I rose confident. I was at peace. I had made the decision that we would go to Haiti as was planned. And obviously we went and God protected us. We were fine and we're still here today to tell the tale. The other episode that comes to mind about a fear that indelibly marked me was a time when we lived in the small town in New Jersey called Hasbrook Heights, a very small city of 12,000 people. And this is the kind of town where everything you did, the neighbors knew. The neighbors were, at least that's how I feel, the neighbors were always watching you. And I remember on a particular day, I was lazy. It was the night before the recycling trucks came by. And instead of tying up and bundling all my recycling papers, cardboard, personal mail, the way I was supposed to, well, I got lazy and I put everything in a box. And then I placed it on the curb. And then I remember there was a big storm that hit that night. And I woke up in the middle of the night. That's how violent the storm was. Only to see, to my dismay, that my papers were just flying all over the neighborhood. And the thought occurred to me that in this, you know, pristine neighborhood where the neighbors take great care of their lawns, that my neighbors would wake up in the morning to see their well manicured front lawns covered with my personal papers. I was terrified. I couldn't sleep for hours. And when I finally did go to bed, I had a nightmare about it. And so, again, these examples, at least for me, show that fear is real. And our fears can be about things that are very real dangers or things that are artificial or things that are in our own imagination. But the reality is that we all have fears. And so this morning, I'd like to talk to us about three things we need to do with our fears, okay? Three things we need to do with our fears. The first thing we need to do with our fears is that we need to admit them. We need to admit our fears. And the Harvard Review Psychiatry Journal, there's an article that defined fear as follows. It says that fear is a natural and primitive human emotion. It involves a universal biochemical response, such as sweating, increased heart rate, and high adrenaline levels, as well as an emotional response. It alerts us to the presence of danger, physical or psychological, real or imagined. And as such, it is a survival mechanism that makes us extremely alert. This physical response is also known as the fight or flight response. That's an automatic response that is crucial to our survival. And so it's medically proven that fear is a natural human emotion. And I'm afraid that as Christians, sometimes we see fear only as something negative, as a weakness to grow out of, as an emotion that we should never experience. And we think that fear is the opposite of courage, whereas courage is not the opposite of fear. Courage is the opposite of cowardice. Fear could lead to cowardice, but fear is not the same thing as cowardice. Did you know that the Bible talks about fear at least 80 times? We are commanded not to be afraid. In fact, Jesus, Paul, Peter, John have all taught Christians not to give in to fear. On the other hand, God, either directly or indirectly, has commanded to people we look up to in the scriptures, men and women we consider to be heroes of the faith, like Abraham, like Jacob, like Moses, like David, like Joshua, like Elijah, like Peter, like Paul, that they should not be afraid. And if you think about it, the only reason to tell someone to not be afraid is because they are afraid or they are experiencing fear. And so these great men and women in the scriptures all experience fear. The Hebrew word, one of the Hebrew words that is translated fear in our Old Testament is the word yare. And the Greek word in the New Testament, one of the Greek words for fear is phobos. And the connotation of these words is not just the simple natural emotion of fear, but it's what fear produces. It's the panic, the flight, the anxiety that fear produces in us. And so it's okay to fear. It's a natural human emotion. It is what we do with that fear. Right now, there's a lot of work in Montreal, and in the street next to our building, you have those big machines that are drilling, and the ground is shaking. And so I'm tempted to give in to fear, but I'm going to hold on and not allow panic to set in. The building will not fall with me. And so it's okay to experience fear. It's okay to feel fear. That's what you do with that fear. In fact, a couple of examples of spiritual people who were afraid and admitted fear. The first one is Nehemiah. This is a well-known story, a very well-known character of the Bible, a beloved character in the Bible. Nehemiah was a Jew who was in exile in Babylon. And at a certain time, some of his relatives came from Jerusalem and gave Nehemiah the report that the entire city of Jerusalem laid in ruins, in spite of the fact that waves of Israelites had returned to rebuild Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah felt in his heart that the desire to go before the king and ask for permission to leave and go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall and help rebuild the city and the community of the Jews. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 2, Nehemiah tells us his state of mind, and he simply says, "I was very much afraid." Another example is Paul. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's relating his state of mind when he came to Corinth. Now, as we'll see a little further, in Acts chapter 18, Paul made his way to Corinth. But prior to that, Paul, on his second missionary journey, had been to places such as Philippi, where he had been arrested, beaten, put in jail, and suffered intense persecution. And so Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, "I came to you," he's telling the Corinthians, "I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling." Even the amazing Apostle Paul felt fear and admitted it. And so we too, as Christians, must admit our fears. If we're not, then we are in denial. So we must admit our fears. Now, once you admit your fears, what do you do with them? And this is my second point. Once we admit our fears, it's time to overcome them. We must overcome our fears. It's okay to feel fear, but we cannot let our fears control us. In Acts chapter 18, Luke tells us about Paul's trip to Corinth. And Acts 18, verse 9 to 11, it says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid." Again, phobos, phobio, which means do not be terrified, do not be put to flight. God said to Paul, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." And Luke tells us what Paul did. In verse 11, he says, "So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. And great number of people became Christians." And so again, Paul, when he got to Corinth, was afraid. Paul was terrified. Paul knew the kind of persecutions he had suffered previously before he got to Corinth. So it's quite understandable that Paul was afraid. But Paul did not allow his fear to stop him. He prayed. He surrendered to God. God spoke to him in a vision. God gave him courage. And Paul continued to preach the word. You know, we are living in very challenging times. And it's easy to allow fear. We don't have to do anything. It's easy to allow fear to dominate over us and to paralyze us. You know, at the beginning of the confinement, I got a call from a sister, I believe, who asked me if I can help someone move. Someone who is not a disciple, who's not part of a community, church community, someone who was studying the Bible. And then I got another call about another woman, same situation, who needed to move that same day. So we had two people to move. And I'm going to be honest, I was struggling. I was like, why can't they wait until June, the end of June? Because in Quebec, traditionally, everybody moves the 1st of July, the end of June. It's probably in the bylaw of the province of Quebec. Everybody moves at the end of June. But these two women wanted to move. I shouldn't say they wanted to move. I don't want to make light of their situation. They had a difficult situation. But I was struggling. I was like, we are in the middle of COVID-19, and they're asking me to go and expose myself. So we prayed. We prayed, and I was able to find four or five other courageous brothers. And we went there, and we served those women, and we helped them move. And we cannot let fear stop us. You know, I know many disciples in Montreal and the campus ministry and other ministries have been serving, like many of you are doing and the other churches. But I think more people can do that. They're going to nonprofit organizations. They're doing clothing drives. They're helping to organize food baskets. They're out there serving. Now, obviously, they're taking their precautions. They are keeping their 2 meters of social distancing, but they are not allowing fear to paralyze them. Disciples in Montreal and Quebec City have continued to study the Bible with people on Zoom, via other online platform, and God has blessed us. We've had a few baptisms since the crisis started. Now, I must confess that we were not completely compliant with the rules of social distancing, and we're repenting. At our next baptisms, we'll be wearing our mask. I'm not quite sure how we'll be able to keep the 2 meters. Maybe we'll have to use a pole and a stick and push the person down under the water. But the point is, we want to be compliant, and we cannot allow fear to stop us from doing what we ought to do as Christians. The great American poet and philosopher of the 19th century, Ralph Waldo Emerson, said, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain." Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain. Now, obviously, he's not talking about some irrational behavior. He's not saying if you're afraid of heights or if you're afraid of jumping off a bridge, you should go ahead and jump off a bridge. You know, of course, that fear will end, as will many other things with it. But what he's saying is that face your fears. Face your fears. Do not be overcome by fears. Last thing I want to share is that we need to hierarchize our fear. We need to hierarchize our fear. We need to put our fears in the right order. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And who is that? Well, obviously, that's God. We must put our fears in the right order. We must fear the right person. Believe it or not, there is something worse than the coronavirus. Now, I think we all need to be compliant with the authorities. We need to wear our mask. We need to wash our hands. We need to practice social distancing. We need to make sure that we're not being bad examples. We need to make sure that we're taking precautions. But here's a question I have for you. Are you more concerned about catching the coronavirus than you are about falling into sin and disobeying God and walking away from God? Allegorically, sin is also a virus that infects our hearts, a virus that can harden our hearts. As we're going through this time of confinement, what are you doing to thrive in your relationship with God? Are you spending more time or less time with God? Are you lowering your guards? Are you being led into sin? Are you being less serious about your relationship with God? Jesus said clearly that we need to fear what can kill the soul more than what can kill the body. The final judgment, hell, heaven, those things are realities. Those things are realities that we will have to face, that everyone will have to face. And so we need to be more concerned about protecting our hearts, about our salvation. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about our health, but we should order our fears and put them in the right priority, in the right order. In Quebec, people nowadays say, have this saying, they say, ça va aller, and they put a drawing. It's very cute at times because it's children's drawing of a rainbow, and they write the words, ça va aller. And what that means is, it's all going to be okay. It's going to go well. And I get it. We need hope. Everybody needs hope. Okay? And so whatever helps us have hope is a good thing. But I'd like to ask you, what exactly does that mean? That everything's going to be okay. That it's going to be well. Because if it means that some of us will not lose loved ones, that's not true, because it's already happened. Some of us have lost loved ones. Can it mean that we won't lose our jobs? Well, some of us have already lost jobs. Some of us have already lost income. The economy has already been affected. What does that mean? It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be well. Does this mean that life will resume to what it was pre-COVID-19? Who can know such things? No one can know such things. And so we have to be careful that we're not giving ourselves and our friends false hope. Here's what we can know for sure. If you are right with God, it'll be well for you. Whether in this life or in the life to come. If you are close to God, if you're right with God, it will be well for you. If you are not right with God, it will not be well for you. Even if you get to keep your job, even if you're not, if you don't get sick, even if things go exactly the way they were, if you don't have a relationship with God, or if you are a Christian who's gotten dull and lukewarm and hard-hearted, you will die and go to hell. It's not going to be well for you. And so I think it's important as Christians that we place our fears in the right thing. And so let's not give ourselves false hope. Let's not be negligent about our walk with God. Let's reach out to our friends. This is not a time to reach out less. This is a time to reach out more. And let people know that there is true hope in God. That there is true hope in a relationship with God. Help people know the God who gives us hope no matter what the circumstances in our lives are. And so let's admit our fears. Have an honest conversation with yourself. Write your fears down. Admit them. Share them with someone. Let's overcome our fears. Pray. Present your request to God. And the God of peace will transcend your heart. Let's surrender our fears to God and let's rise from the ground confident and victorious. Thirdly, let's hierarchize our fears. Let's make sure we're fearing God first and foremost, more than anything else, how are you living your life today? What's guiding your decisions? How you live your life, is that showing a proper fear of God? Are you making decisions based on the fact that you're fully aware that one day you will be judged? If you have sin in your life that you haven't confessed, now is the time to confess that. If you are harboring anything in your heart that is not right, now is the time to let go. Now is not the time to walk away from God. Now is not the time to get cold in your relationship with God. Now is the time to get even closer. If you're visiting with us and you're following this online service and God is moving in your heart, please reach out to someone and allow them to guide you into this relationship with God that will take away fear and help you develop that confidence that all will be well because God is with you.